tradition, as Sue has come and lit the first candle, there's four candles plus the one in the center, the Advent candle and the Advent wreath. And the four different candles represent hope, peace, joy, and love. And today and next week, we're going to talk about the first two. Today we're going to talk about hope, and next week we'll talk about peace. And what is Advent? Advent is see you later. Advent is simply the coming. It's the incarnation, the first incarnation of Jesus Christ, when he was born, when he came to visit the earth, when he became Emmanuel, God with us. That's Advent. You know, maybe it sounds kind of, you know, it's a word that we don't use very often. You know, maybe, you know, the advent of the automobile or the advent of the Industrial Revolution or, you know, whatever it might be. But in this context, we're talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. It begins the fourth Sunday before Christmas, which is usually the first Sunday after Thanksgiving, right? It's always the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. Four Sundays before Christmas is the first Sunday of Advent. And it's hope. So today we're going to be talking about hope. Hebrews 6, chapter, verse 19, somewhere down there. It says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul." And as we were singing that song, "Your love is the anchor." And we're going to talk a little bit more about that idea of anchor. "This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil." This hope that we have for our soul. See, God is the lover, right? God is the lover of our soul. He's less concerned about our bodies. Yeah, he's concerned about our health, and we can pray for healing. But he's more concerned about our soul. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, not to save our bodies, but to save our souls, who we really are, that person that you really are. You know, there can be a picture. You know, we've got pictures back here, the Spirit energized, and there's going to be some more going to be going up, hopefully, at the beginning of the year. I know we're working on that. But there's pictures on the wall, and those are just photographs. They're just images. You know, we can look and we can say, oh, there's Tom and Kelly. Well, that's not really Tom and Kelly, right? We know they're just images, just photographs, just a graph of light that was taken in an instant. But you can see that person, and you can say, oh, well, there's Tom, or there's Kelly. There's Beth. There's Sue. There's Charles. But who is the real person? It's that soul, and that's who Jesus came to die for that who we are. He's the lover of our soul. No matter how deep and dark and depressed we might be, no matter how happy we might be, no matter how prideful, he came because he's the lover of our soul. And the hope that he gives us. How many of you need hope? I'll tell you right now, we need hope, and we're gonna talk a lot about some different areas in our life where we may need some hope. But this hope that we have is an anchor. And I was pondering that word this week, anchor. And the first thing that comes to mind, probably you, when I say the word anchor, you think maybe of a ship and one of those hook-looking things that drops down into the water. You think of anchor hawking. What do you think of? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and there's different types of anchors. In this modern era, you know, we might think of that, or if we've been somewhere else, we've been educated. And I was just thinking about that word, anchor. And it's something that whether it's on board a ship, you know, something that's nautical, it goes down into the water and it keeps that ship from moving. It makes that ship secure. It makes it steadfast. It's stayed. It's right there. And then I was thinking of wall anchors. You know, a lot of times to hang a picture, you know, a painting or a mirror or something on the wall, we'll use a wall anchor. You know, we drill the hole and it puts in there and little whatever kind of anchor it might be, and it sets it in. A post, a fence post, can be anchored in concrete, and it's not going to move, you know, unless maybe, you know, you hit it with your car or a backhoe or something, you know, but for all intents and purposes, it's anchored. It's become a permanent install. You know, the foundation is anchored here. It's anchored, and it's steadfast, it's secure. I was thinking about, there was an object lesson that I'll talk about maybe a little bit later, but about like glue, you know, different types of adhesives being used as an anchor to make something steadfast, to make something secure. You know, tile that, or carpeting that might be anchored to the floor, where if you try to take it up, you're going to ruin it. So, but this idea of anchor, this hope we have is an anchor for our soul. Our soul can wander around. We can be affected by so many things in this world. We can be affected by the economy. We can be affected by our jobs. We can be affected by a report from a doctor. We can be affected by someone dying, by someone leaving us, by abandonment. There's so many things that can affect our soul. But we have this hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor for our soul to keep us firm, to keep us steadfast, so that we don't have to founder and wander about. Our soul can be anchored, can be firm. 1 Corinthians 13, we know that is the love chapter. And I really like to go back and reference that every chance I get, because I need to know about this. But in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Faith, hope, and love. And I've said this before, you know, John Lennon had that famous song, "All You Need Is Love." That's not true. You need faith and hope as well. You know, God loves us. He sent his only son, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God is love. Faith, hope, and love. There was a song back in the 70s. Remember that, "Faith, Hope, and Charity"? You don't remember that one? Do you remember that one? Well, anyway, it's a song. Look it up. It's somewhere on Google, on the internet. But faith, hope, and love remain, and the greatest is love. But I was thinking about this verse, you know, as it pertains to hope. And, you know, faith mentioned first. The Bible says that we believe, right? With our heart we believe, with our mouth we confess. And faith and belief are almost synonymous. You believe, there's faith. And I know where James said, you know, Satan believes, even the devil believes, and he shudders. You know, it's not just belief, there's faith. And James talks about putting our faith into action, our faith having feet, and showing our faith by what we do. Like those that go down and work with the homeless, those that that minister in different capacity. There was a group of doctors, a team of dentists, I believe this week, that left on the Smiles, Operation Smile. Yeah, they just left this week from Hampton Roads to go in where they do the surgeries on young kids to fix the cleft palates and that sort of thing. And that's just incredible. That's a ministry right there. And but faith, showing our faith by what we do. And then love, the third one that's mentioned, the greatest is love. God is love. We love because he first loved us. And then sandwiched right there in the middle between faith and love is hope. And remember, hope is an anchor. Hope is that bonding agent. It's like a glue. It's like a concrete. It puts the two together. Faith and love are separated by hope. And hope joins the two together. We do what we do by faith because we have our hope in Jesus Christ. We do what we do because he loves us. Because we have hope. It's steadfast. It's an anchor. It's sure. We won't founder. We won't walk away. We sing that song sometimes about unshakable, you know, being unshakable, being unflappable, you know, being immovable, indomitable, you know, just all those different things that that's what we want to be. You know, we confess that with our mouth and we hopefully become that a little bit more and more. Hebrews 11:1, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith and hope are combined there. Faith, you know, it's the substance of things hoped for. So if we have faith and we have hope and we have love, we've got the whole enchilada. We've got the whole thing. 1 John 4:8 says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." These are just where I'm getting those verses from that I mentioned a little bit earlier. And Paul said something to in a letter as he was writing to Timothy. He gave his introduction, and Paul actually said that Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is the anchor. He is the rock. He is the one who is immovable. He is the one that we are bound to. He is the one that he comes alongside us and we work together. In 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. So we've been given a lot of evidence in the last several months of hope. And the first one back in October, how many of you at one point were either glued to the internet or to your television, or you had, you know, things coming up on your phone to give you an update, or people were talking to you about the Chilean miners who were rescued? You know, now I know that every single day as those men would get ready to go to work, they had a hope in their heart that they would go in and do their 8, 10, or 12 hours or whatever it was. They had a hope that they would punch out and go back home every day that they went to work. And their wives and their family, they also had a hope that they would show up. We never thought about them, did we? We had no idea what was going on. Oh, yeah, we love having copper. We love having the things that they were mining for, and we use those things every single day in our life. If we spend pennies, or we turn on a light switch, or we have computers, or whatever we have that we use that has copper, and we're very appreciative of what those guys are doing down there. But we never had a hope for them until that one day when the explosion occurred back in, was it August? Because it was about 2 months. It was 69 days that they were underground. 69 days, just about a half a mile underground. When that explosion occurred, and 39 were trapped, and then it made the world news, many of us began to hold out hope. You know, our lives became a part of their lives. Even though we didn't know them, we started to pray for them. We started to be concerned. We were watching the news, some of us a little bit more than others, because I'm a news hound. But just getting in there and seeing and hoping that they would be rescued. And we didn't give up hope. They tried different things, until that finally, after 69 days, when the last miner came out, the foreman, the one who said, I'm not going out, and they had feared him lost before. But their foreman, the one that held everything together down there, he was the last one to go up. And that's hope. That's hope. Seeing something to come to fruition. The past 2 weeks, there was another terrible explosion down in New Zealand in a mine, and I can't remember what they mine for down there, what they're looking for, but there were 29 miners, and made the news real quick, and it was another explosion, and they were trapped, and after a few days, there was another explosion, and even though we were holding out hope, every single one of those guys perished. Does that mean we stop having hope? Does that mean we give up? It's like someone is diagnosed with cancer, and we pray and we hope that they're healed. We hope that the procedures work, that surgery or the chemotherapy work. We have hope. Someone has some debilitating disease, and we continue to pray for them. We have hope. And we do not give up hope until they draw their final breath. And if they're saved, well, praise God, because where are they now? They're with the Lord Jesus Christ, because to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So our hope should never fail. Hope should never fail. We always have to have hope. Another story that caught my eye this past week were the three teenage boys that had gone out on a little fishing trip in an aluminum boat. Do y'all see that one? There's a little aluminum boat, like a 16-footer, I guess. They went out there, and they had some coconuts with them, and they had a tarpaulin, and just went out, and I guess they got a little bit too far away, and the current took them out, and they were out at sea for 50 days. Their families, I can't remember how many days it was that they were gone, but all the authorities, they had done a search, couldn't find these kids anywhere. 14 and 15. Two of them were 15 and one was 14. And their families, they had a memorial service for them. You know, they did the funeral and the wreath laying and all that kind of stuff. That's it. They're gone. They counted them off. And then they survived on the coconut milk, and they ate the coconuts, and that was gone after just a few days. You know, I'm sure, you know, they're 15, 14. You know, hey, we'll get more. And they were able to capture water in the tarp at night. There were little rain showers that come through, and they were able to capture the water. And that was how they survived. And then it was like, I think 2 weeks before they were rescued, they caught a seabird. And they had bird sushi, I guess. But if it hadn't have been, there were some people that said that more than likely if they hadn't caught that bird and had something to eat, that they'd have been in much worse shape. And that was probably one of the things that really saved them. But I can't remember what day it was. Tuesday or Wednesday this past week, when the fishing boat, tuna boat, was going by and happened to see him, the outlook, and ran down and then called out to him, "Hey, do you guys need help?" And they're like, "Yes, we need help." And they brought him up on the boat and then took him into Australia. And I'm sure their family was overjoyed, but they had given up hope to the point of going through. Now, I'm sure that there are some in the family that just, they weren't going to believe it until they actually saw a body, you know. But they just said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and have this funeral. We're going to have to do this memorial service and consider them gone. See, we should never, ever give up hope. Just keep, stand firm. Jesus Christ is the anchor for our soul. He is steadfast. He is secure. There's faith and love. And the one that binds those two together is the hope, which is Jesus Christ. See, hope to me is the real reason for the season of Christmas. You know, O come, Emmanuel. He is our hope. He is the hope of Israel, it says in the Old Testament. The Messiah is the hope of Israel. It's not missiles. It's not guns and horses and swords. It's Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the hope. In Colossians 1, you can turn there, and this is going to be pretty quick and painless. Colossians is one of the cool books, coolest epistles that Paul wrote. And if you have any doubt that Jesus Christ is God, if you have friends that you've been talking with and they just don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, Colossians is the one book where you can take a few verses from each chapter and show that Jesus Christ is God. Paul just lays it out there. He gives his thesis statement in chapter 1. Explains it. Chapter 2, there's another one, and he explains it. Chapter 3, there's another one, he explains it. And the one that we're going to look at here, Colossians 1, verse 17. Actually, go up to verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's that bonding agent. He is the anchor. He's the glue that holds everything together. When it looks like there's chaos, he's the one that we can turn to. He is the anchor for our soul. He is the one that holds it all together in our relationships, in our jobs, in our finances, in every situation that we come into in our life. He's the anchor. He holds it all together. I can't hold things together. You know, a lot of the guys have seen me at times, you know, where I'm, where the inner man kind of takes over and I can't hold it together. I'm a person who has been my whole life led by emotions. You know, God doesn't want us to get rid of our emotions. He gave them to us. He doesn't want us to be led by our outburst of anger or our fear or our sadness, our depression, whatever emotion it might be. We're not to be concerned about our happiness, because happiness comes and goes. One minute we're happy, the next minute we're sad. Happiness comes and goes. It's about joy, you know, living in a life in a state of joy. And if the source of our joy is the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can have joy even in the midst of the deep darkness, you know, deep dark times. We can have joy, even though we might be in a situation or a circumstance where we ought to be terrified and worried. We can have peace. We can have joy. We can have hope. We can hold out hope. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Maybe we've been concerned, you know, seeing the headlines this week of North Korea firing missiles, rockets into South Korea. And, you know, I talk with Lynn a lot about that little guy up there in North Korea that wants to be Batman and Michael Jordan. And, you know, we talk quite a bit about Korea and about Asia and that whole part of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ is holding all things together. You know, talks about in the Word of God in the Old Testament about the bear from the north and the dragon from the east and what those are. And in that final time, that battle of Armageddon on Mount Megiddo. And people have said it before, you know, time's getting, it's drawing close. It's getting closer. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid about pat downs and body scanners. We don't have to be afraid about what's going on in the Middle East or, you know, some 19-year-old guy that makes a deal to buy explosives to go blow up a Christmas tree lighting celebration in Oregon. We don't have to fear that stuff. You know, I don't know if you guys, did you guys see that? This sting operation. You know, and next time the person that's doing that might not be buying, they might be really getting the explosives and the electronics and everything they need to make a real bomb to do that kind of stuff. But we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus Christ holds all things together. And I've said it before, the foundation, love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy as yourself, right? Love your enemy. That's where it comes down to. And so even these people that, you know, if those that say that it's not a religious war going on, the war on terrorism, it's a religious war. It really is, you know. It wasn't just some fellow that came up with this idea to go try to blow up some kids at a Christmas tree thing. You know, it was a religiously motivated plan. So, Father, I thank you that during this time of year, we can light a candle of hope. We can hold out hope that you would restore relationships, that you would heal diseases and sickness, that you would stop the hole in our wallets, in our purses. We can hold out hope that you would continue to be our provider. Our cupboards might not be filled to overflowing, but you will provide. Father, we thank you so much for the hope that we can hold out for our family members and friends who don't yet know you, who are maybe consumed by the events of the day, who are overcome with worry and fear, those who have no hope. So help us to focus and fix our eyes upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to find our souls resting in you, the immovable rock, the anchor. The anchor for our souls. Lord Jesus, you are the hope. You're the hope of Israel. And we have been grafted into the vine, and you are our hope. Holy Spirit, continue to have your way in each one of us. We ask that you would have traveling mercies on Pastor Don as he would continue to go through France. Use him. Help his eyes to be open. Help him to be receptive to what you want to do through him. And help him to be able to receive those blessings that you have for him. And let him be open to those opportunities, those appointments that you have set for him, even the ones that he doesn't even know about. Lord, we've seen miracles there before. And Father, we ask for traveling mercies for our friends of the Peninsula Vineyard, Lord, who are making their way back home today as they would go. Would you just protect their vehicles and give them safe return? We give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name.